CITR, Mantra Radio, and Chant, and Give Peace a Chant presents Women of Bhakti, a new film by Geneva Harrison in its Canadian debut screening. Come to Open Door Yoga at 16th and Arbutus, Friday, August 17th at 8 p.m. to catch this documentary film about women in the Bhakti. Tickets are $20 and include the film, a Meet the Producer opportunity, refreshments, and kirtan. For more information, visit givepeaceachant.org. On August 18th, from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Second Beach at Stanley Park, world-renowned kirtan leaders and artists combining music with mantras and chants will perform a free outdoor concert. There'll be vegan and vegetarian food prepared on-site in an outdoor shopping bazaar with vendors selling handmade vegan arts, crafts, clothing, and accessories from around the globe. Proceeds of all sales will go to Food for Life, a nonprofit organization that supplies nourishing vegetarian meals to the Vancouver downtown east side. Kirtan Vancouver, absorb the sound, ignite your soul. For more information, check kirtanvancouver.com.
Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah.
And welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. And my name's Matt. I generally host a show called Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, on Friday nights at 6 p.m. And I do recommend you listen to that. I'll tell you more about that later on the show. Today is a special, though. I'm here doing a fill-in and a special on Bhakti Yoga. Now, regular listeners of CITR should know that on this coming Saturday, we are broadcasting live from a wonderful event that is occurring down at Second Beach. This is Kirtan Vancouver. It is now an annual event here in the city of Vancouver, which, let's face it, this is a center of yoga. It's pretty hard to... you can't ignore all of the yoga that's happening in this city. People are taking yoga classes all over the place. Yoga goes deeper though than just the physical asanas, and the celebration on this coming Saturday, Kirtan Vancouver, is actually it relates to the devotional part of yoga called bhakti. Kirtan singing is a movement that started in India a very long time ago. And it has spread around the world. Of course, in the West, it came to prominence in the 60s with the counterculture movement. And the first main Indian teachers and gurus who came to spread the knowledge from India to impressionable Westerners who were looking for a different way of viewing reality and coping with the stresses and strains of a changing world. And now a couple of generations of people have had a lot of amazing experience and a lot of peace and well-being has come from their exploration of yoga in all sorts of forms, from the physical to the devotional, and which that's what we're going to be talking about today. So Bhakti Yoga. I have a few interviews here today, primarily with Kananrita Dasi. So she is an extraordinary singer, a contemporary Kirtan singer, devotional singer, who was trained in India. She's actually from North America. She was trained in India over a number of years to kind of, I guess, amplify her already natural gift of singing and give it the foundation of the rich texture and heritage of bhakti. And she's going to be telling us all about that, her journey from North America to India, how that all happened for her. We're going to be playing some of her music. And, she'll be explaining what we can expect at her concert here in Vancouver on the 18th of August. On the 22nd of August. 22nd of August, Kananrita Dasi is playing at the Canadian Memorial Church. And I'll tell you more about that venue later on. Tickets available at Banyan Books. And I will actually be giving out a couple of tickets today for listeners who enjoy what they hear. So I've got a couple of other interviews as well. We have a chat with Jeffrey Armstrong. He is a world-renowned expert, a teacher of Vedic knowledge, The Vedic knowledge relates to the knowledge base of India, the enormous and deep philosophical library from which the yoga tradition comes from, yoga in all of its forms, all of its different limbs. He is based here in Vancouver, and I spoke with him on the phone last week. And so I'll play his interview shortly to really set the context and the mood for what Bhakti Yoga really is all about. Then we have my extended interview with Kanamrita Dasi, and also an interview with Sandra Lee. She is a local practitioner, teacher of yoga, and an exquisite voice herself. She hosts a regular kirtan called Give Peace a Chance on every second Friday here in the city of Vancouver. She's been doing that for many years, so I thought she would be a wonderful person to talk to about what bhakti and kirtans are really all about. So let's start with let's play a track from Kanamrita, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. She has a very, very beautiful voice, and what she's singing here, this type of singing has very deep roots. And Jeffrey Armstrong will be on just after this song to explain what those roots are all about, to prepare us for kirtan Vancouver and Kanamrita's concert on the 22nd. So here we go. This is Kanamrita Dasi from her latest record.
Rasika Mukutta Mani
Okay, so there you have Carnam Rita Darcy, the beautiful voice there of Carnam Rita. And that is a little taste of what you can experience at an intimate concert that will be. She'll be performing in Vancouver on the 22nd of August at the Canadian Memorial Church, also with Pete McCormack, and hosted by Jeffrey Armstrong. Now, Jeffrey is going to talk to us right now about the origins of Bhakti and Kirtan. He's an extraordinary depth of knowledge. He's an expert on the Vedic philosophy and teachings from where all of yoga comes from. So he'll give us a little bit of insight now into what it's all about. And then we do have an extended interview with Carnam Rita coming up. I hope you enjoy this. Now, this is Jeffrey Armstrong talking about Bhakti.
On August 18th from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Second Beach.
Namaste, Matthew. It's great to be here with you. Kirtan Vancouver is part of a larger movement and growth of yogic consciousness throughout the world. And at the center of yoga practice is the idea that we are all wirelessly connected through sound vibration, both to each other, to all that exists, and to the source of our existence. So Kirtan Vancouver is a kind of practice of yoga on a group level, thousands of people participating. It's also a universal celebration of our connection to everything. And of course, it has that joyful component where we actually find the bliss that we're capable of in a way that's safe and friendly and good for everyone.
Hmm. And of course, it has its origins deep in antiquity in India. And can you explain a little bit about the roots of the Kirtan tradition?
Sure, Matthew. And you know, in Australia, where you come from, we can tell by your voice, and in many other indigenous cultures, they really understood that. They even thought that we were sung into existence, that the divines sung us into existence, that we are in the midst of a song. Modern science now sees everything as vibration. And that matter is both energy and in its density is a kind of vibration. So this was quite an ancient understanding and very technical, actually, to understand that with our bodies, we can change their state by vibration, by singing, faster than any other way.
Hmm. And there's great healing potential there as well, because of the vibratory effect.
Absolutely, and because it's also free and universal. There's never a shortage. It's not something you have to go to a doctor for or pay for. In fact, in ancient times in India, they would create special, they were almost like our coliseums or place where we have sporting events. They were countrysides where there was a hill or several hills, and down below, anyone who was sick, not feeling well, depressed, injured, damaged, would be put into lower space, and then 100 or 200,000 people would sing for two or three days, and they would feed each other and take care of each other. But then most of what they did was to make these marvelous concerts at sound vibration. They'd have musicians, and the hillside would be set up to reverberate the sound, and so the sacred sound vibrations were used for a healing purpose. So anyone who comes to Kirtan Vancouver can get the benefit of this group healing by the amplification that happens by so many people chanting together in a beautiful way.
Hmm. And it seems so new and fresh in our culture, but at the same time, this knowledge, I mean, people have been doing kirtans in North America for at least since the 60s. It's just that I guess there's more momentum now, would you say, at this point in history, there's something happening.
Of course, and you can also see that within, say, for example, within Judaism, the cantor, which sounds a little bit like kirtan almost, so words sound similar. But the cantor was a very important part of the Judaic culture, singing the various ancient messages. And certainly in Christianity, we can see where choirs and hymns sung to affirm the positive feelings that people were having for the divine. So this is certainly our universal component, that like creatures of the wild, we sing and make noises when we're happy. So it's not only scientifically the case, but it's actually our nature to be joyful and to then open our throat and make sounds. But in yoga, it's also a technology. that whatever you think about, you speak, and whatever you speak about, you do, and whatever you do becomes your life.
Hmm.
So in a way, we, as the ancient cultures and original cultures thought, the aboriginal ones, the ones with the origin, and we sing our reality into existence. We affirm it with our voice.
That's right, yeah. And this seems like such a, from what I've observed and participated myself, it's such a participatory movement. As a musician too, like it's not about technical mastery of something, say a guitar.
There's a lot of forgiveness for not being perfect in a kirtan, because in a kirtan everyone's supposed to participate, and it also has a marvelous side effect. Many great ancient cultures knew this, that when we all get together, share food, share time together, care for each other, cooperate to make it possible, then spend time together and say similar things and join in and blend our voices, we overcome those feelings of distance for each other that naturally develop when we compete and try for the same properties or things in life. So there's a kind of animosity that develops amongst humans by just competing with each other. And kirtans and events where we get together and sing together in a single voice and express beautiful sentiments of love and cooperation are very healing socially, just as they are individually.
Of course. And what perfect timing, summer weather in Vancouver. So that is Jeffrey Armstrong. He is a Vancouver-based author and teacher of the Vedic knowledge, which is the philosophy behind yoga and the roots of what you would experience at a Kirtan Vancouver this Saturday, the 18th, and CITR Radio will be broadcasting live. So today, my name's Matt, and this is a special on Bhakti Yoga to set the context for the Karnamrita Dasi concert next Wednesday, the intimate concert solo show, as well as Kirtan Vancouver. So thanks there to Jeffrey for giving us that background. So yeah, in antiquity, Bhakti was a movement from India that it was very inclusive. That's what you'll get. I think you'll get a sense from listening to Karnamrita speak now about how, I mean, for instance, Karnamrita is a female practitioner. Way back when the movement was first starting, there was some very notable female practitioners. And people of any caste in India, we know that there is a caste system, but this Bhakti movement said that sex and gender has nothing to do with anything with your relation to the source of your existence and being emotionally committed to life. And that's what Bhakti is. It has a strong emotional component. That's what I've worked out in my own research, the different types of yoga that they are. There's the Ashtanga yoga that's very popular with the body, the asanas, the poses. There's Jnana yoga, which is the intellectual, the real rigorous philosophical side of working out what the meaning of life might be. Karma yoga, which is an action-oriented yoga, being in the world, being unattached to the fruits of what you're doing, but still being very involved. And then this final part, or this other path of Bhakti yoga, which is related to an emotional expression of joy with life. So Karnamrita now will be telling you about what she does as a kirtan singer and how she became involved and, the deeper meaning, again, behind Bhakti Yoga. So this is Karnamrita Dasi. I just chatted with her on the phone yesterday. She was driving her car and she stopped by and spoke specially to us here on CITR Radio. So, Karnamrita, thank you so much for finding time there. I know you've pulled over your car and the side of the road in Oregon for this little chat. Karnamrita, you are playing here in Vancouver next week, but I wanted to first of all start with some questions about where the Bhakti movement came from. It was a movement from India, I guess around the 6th or 7th century, is that right?
Yeah, I think, I have to say that the beautiful thing about the Vedic tradition is that it was an oral tradition, and so although I wasn't there, what's been handed down is the knowledge is that it did come from the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which also was the time of Mirabai, some very mystics around the world. There was a very sweet time that I think actually had bhakti influenced in many ways and very, you know, very different flavors. But the tradition of kirtan really started a lot around the rebel, if you might want to say, the incarnation known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, this isn't just for the Brahmins, and you don't just get to access it if you're from the higher caste. You can access this no matter who you are, as long as there is the element of bhakti or devotion in what you sing and in what you do.
Mm. And sex, of course, too. Sex and caste have no object when it relates to your relationship to the divine.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the essence, I guess. And so it was a reform movement, wasn't it?
Yeah, they actually did something pretty cool. I mean, I thought about how nice it would be, except these days people usually have to know what time and where, and there's a lot of marketing around a lot of things. But what they used to do was they would actually do something called Sankirtan during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. And that actually, the way that they did kirtan was oftentimes in a temple or sitting, but oftentimes it was walking from village to village, and they walked all the way from north in Bengal, sort of northeastern India, and they walked all the way to South India and then all the way back up again, visiting holy places and singing the whole time they walked. And whoever wanted to join would join for as long as they could and go home. And it was always a movement that surrounded around music, but I actually mean like it was a physical movement. You got out of your home, you got out of your whatever might be your familiar or your to-do list or whatever it is, and you walked with like-minded people and you sang.
Wow.
Not a lot of microphones, not stage lighting, not marketing. And you didn't know what day they were going to walk by, but everybody listened out, and everybody respected and took part of pilgrimage.
And in contemporary times in India, I mean, everything's changed, of course, but is there any of that sort of more movement-type tradition still happening, or is it sort of fixed curtains like what we're going to experience on Saturday?
I think there's a little bit of both. If you go to little villages in Bengal, they definitely walk through villages just chanting, and they don't have mics, so they have the cymbals, and they'll play those sitars sometimes rather, you know, just, it's not meant to be entertainment sound, but it notifies people that they're there, and they're chanting, and they're singing. But I know a couple of years ago there was a group of people that were actually moving with an ox cart through India, and they called it Padayatra, and I'm not sure that they are doing it much anymore, but there has been people who have taken on long... I mean, I did a walk across Spain and a couple of years ago, the Camino de Santiago, by myself, and I thought, how nice would it be to just say, there's a kirtan crossing Spain this summer, and we don't know what day we'll arrive, but we'll check in as we go places, and people just come out on the journey and chant.
That's extraordinary.
One of the nice things that I liked about that idea of sankirtan and walking was that it includes the element of spontaneity, to be able to connect without organization, without just to be able to say, it comes from the heart. When it comes from the heart, it doesn't warn you.
That's right. And it seems so inclusive because it doesn't require incredible dexterity on an instrument or something. Like, anyone can partake, even, you know, with basic guitar chords or anything, or drumming, or just the voice, of course. So there isn't some bar that's set high that people have to attain before they can be part of it.
Absolutely. There is sometimes a challenge to people to just be able to sit and to be able to say the same mantra over and over. That seems to be the modern day challenge, because we're not going anywhere, we're not filming it, we're not putting the pictures up, we're just chanting. And I used to like to say, no shoes, no tickets, no flyers, no meals, just kirtan. Just go once a week to someone's house, sit together and sing, and don't make it complicated, because that sometimes is what we try to do around things, which sort of it becomes an impediment, you know. And kirtan is actually quite simple, and yet it has a very directed presence and essence, in that it's very powerful if you know what it means and if you know what you're chanting, because that allows you to tune in instead of just tuning out.
I see. Okay.
And if I don't know what Enya's singing, or if I don't know what they're singing in Malawi, I get the mood, I get the feeling. Mm. But when I know what they're singing, I'm allowed to access the deepest inclusiveness that there is.
So that is the voice there of Karnamrita Dasi. She spoke with me yesterday all about what Bhakti Yoga is. Of course, she is a world-renowned performer, and she is here in Vancouver this weekend for Curtain Vancouver and a solo intimate show at the Canadian Memorial Church on the 22nd of August. That's next Wednesday. That's at 1825 West 16th. Tickets from Banyan Books, but you know what? If you are listening now, I actually have a couple of tickets to give away. So if you like what you hear, I'm going to play another song now from Karnamrita Dasi. If you like what you hear and you're keen to go and see her, you can get a free ticket by calling through here 604-822-CITR for a ticket to Karnamrita Dasi. Her intimate show next Wednesday night. So let's get back into this music. This is Dasi Karnamrita.
Pingala Uvacha. Aho me mohavitatim Pasyata vijitatmana Yakantara satakam Kamayena Balisha, Kamayena Balisha, Ya Kantara Sata Kamam, Kamayena Balisha. Santam Sami Pedamanam Rati Pradam Vita Pradam Nityami Mam Vihaya, Akamadam Dukabayadi Soka, Moha Pradam Tuchamaham. Maivam Syurmanda Bhagyaya Klesha Niveda Hetava Yena Nubandam Nihritya Purusha Samam Richati Santam Sami Pedamanam Rati Pradam Vita Pradam Nityam Imam Vihaya Akamadam Tukabayadi Shoka Moha Pradam Tuchamaham Bhajena.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Okay, so that was another song by Kanam Rita Dasi, and this is a special here for the next hour until 11 on Bhakti Yoga, and an extended interview with Kanam Rita because she's playing in Vancouver next Wednesday night. And don't forget, free tickets, a couple I'm giving away today. I just had one call there. Sarah, you have one ticket for the show that's put away in your name. And, yeah, we have one more ticket to give away if you liked what you just heard, 604-822-CITR. So let's get back into the next part of the interview with Kanam Rita, where she's talking about the emotional essence of bhakti, what that really means, what specifically a bhakti singer is doing and how it affects her.
You describe what occurs with you emotionally when you are chanting.
Well, first of all, let me just say that for everybody, this is definitely a very personal experience, so I can't answer for everyone. But from the teachers that I've had in my life, and I don't want to just say the ones that were official teachers, I've had so many teachers that just, some of them are so not on any pedestal, and it's just the way they live their life. It has become an inspiration for me to sing because it's that constant dedication and it's that day-to-day surrender through chanting that has deeply affected me. But I do think that chanting is a very personal expression, and I think that when you meditate on the thoughts expressed in the chants and you sing, you sort of are seeking to establish a personal conception of the meaning with, like, seed thoughts, you know? And you visualize them, and you study. I mean, for me, I studied the chants, and I saw key words, and I saw phrases that I would emphasize with deep feeling and almost with almost more force than some of the other words. And it would sort of, like, charges my mind. It charges my heart. Very deeply with, you know, a vitality to it, and I connect to a love that is inside those words. I can feel it, and I've been studying the language, and I lived in India for many years, and I was raised in an ashram, so I've been lucky to have this as my modality of prayer all my life.
And then how exactly did you get into it in terms of the formal study? How did that come about? Because I know you actually traveled to India at some stage and yeah, did receive teachings from some masters.
I had studied this just loosely as, you know, a community prayer, sort of the way that you or some others may study with teachers there in Vancouver. But when I stopped studying, I went on to learn other things that I thought were more practical in college and things like that. And then my mother told me that she had cancer. I was actually in Australia, and she called me and said, maybe you should come home. And my mother wasn't one to request anything or ever say she was sick. So it kind of, I got warned, and I came home, and she was 88 pounds and the strong, you know, beautiful, warm, healthy vitality that she had had all her life was very frail. And I was a little shocked, so I stayed and took care of her for a little over a year, and then she passed. And right before she passed, she had said to me, "Oh, I wish you would sing for people, and I wish you would share that with people." And, yeah, a couple of things came over my head. She was very tone deaf, so I sort of thought, well, what does she know about good music? But I also noticed that when I sang, I felt a little bit like my grief and my loss was a little less. So I decided to go and take her ashes to India, and in taking her ashes to India, I started asking around about studying classically, because I've never thought about singing in English. I love Sanskrit so much that I just decided to stay in that genre, because it was what she was referring to anyway. Mm,
yeah, yeah.
And so I get there and they say, "Oh, you want to study? You want to study North Indian or South Indian?" I was like, "I don't know." So it was known as Carnatic music in the South or Hindustani music in the North.
Mm.
And I said, "Well, I only know the North, so maybe the North." And then they said, "Would you like to study Dhrupad or Khayal or Tumri or Barakyal?" And they were asking me all these other versions, and really, I had no idea. So I sat at a very old temple in Vrindavan known as Radharaman.
Mm-hmm.
And they had classical music there every day, and I noticed that it was probably the best band-aid for my grief, just to hear this music.
Mm-hmm.
And so they eventually invited me to attend classes, and I was lucky enough to study with Pandit Vidyamalakji, who was a master of Dhrupad in Vrindavan, in India, North India. And that was one of my largest influences in my study.
You are listening to the sounds there of Kanamrita Dasi, and we are three quarters of the way through my interview with her, and she is playing a show here in Vancouver next week on the 22nd. If you like what you're hearing, you can have a free ticket. We've got one more to give away. If you wanted to call through to the station here at CITR, 604-822-CITR, and you can receive a free ticket to this show that's on next Wednesday night. And we will be right back after this quick commercial break with the next part of my interview with Kanamrita, and then an interview with Sandra Lee, who is a local Kirtan leader and yoga teacher here in the city. So, don't forget, if you'd like a ticket, free ticket, I have one more to give away, 604-822-CITR, and I will be right back after this. Create some of the wildest sounds on the planet. Join your host Matthew as he explores the musical heritage of his native Australia and features fresh sounds from Canada's independent music world. That's Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, live Fridays from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. So that's the regular show that I do every Friday night here on Stranded. This is here on CITR. The show's called Stranded, Australian-Canadian Independent Music. But today it's a special on Bhakti Yoga. And Jennifer just phoned through. She has a ticket now to the Kanamrita show next Wednesday night. So let's get back into the next part of the interview with Kanamrita. And then we'll be talking to Sandra Lee. So this is a special on Bhakti Yoga, because there's a lot happening this coming week. We have Kirtan Vancouver on the 18th, Kanamrita next Wednesday,
And actually, this Friday, Sandra Lee will be telling us about an interesting film event, Women of Bhakti. So now I'm just asking Karan Mitra about what happened after she returned from India.
How many years has it been since you, I guess, started your career doing this here in North America? And how has that journey been for you in terms of seeing more and more people kind of getting excited about this? Because Kirtan Vancouver is a pretty big event. I mean, I don't imagine it would have occurred 5 years ago even.
Yeah, no, it's definitely taken off. I think with the combination of yoga growing and the combination of a lot of people finding that there hasn't been much of a foundation to what they call traditional dreams of America or of Canada or of the West, I think the foundation has been somewhat disappointing. And you know, you look at any culture, I don't care if you're talking about the Irish or the Africans who were here at the beginning of the foundations of these countries, or in Africa, or in Cuba, or in Puerto Rico, or wherever. Music as a community is fundamental to the community feeling united.
Absolutely.
And what have we done in the last couple of years? Well, here you can have your own remote and your own TV and your own car. And by the time you get to the list of your own, people are lonely.
Yeah, that's right.
And people don't remember not only how to sit next to someone and not apologize for being touched, you know, like, oh, I bothered you, oh, excuse me, sorry, you know, but the vibration that we need each other. And what happens when the vibration is that it's chanting, that it's singing, brings it to another level. But when it's words such as bring me under the shelter of your umbrella so that sometimes I can have some sweet rest, when you sing that to the divine and you're with a group of people, there's another bonding that happens that people, of course, say, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do this by myself. I would like to do this with my community.
That's right. And that goes back to the spontaneity aspect as well. And I was just thinking, too, in our contemporary world, like so many of us consume and we become observers. I was just with a friend in Edmonton the other day, staring at YouTube videos with her for half an hour of these great musicians. And then my acoustic guitar was sitting in the corner and I was like, what am I doing? And I got it out and I played her a little song. I just played a little Beatles song because I don't know a lot of chords. And I was like, this is what we should have been doing for half an hour. You know, this is where where the bhakti kind of vibe can help us break free again.
I completely agree. And I think that people oftentimes don't even, it's so automatic. People have so much on their list. They have so much to do. The amount of, did I reply to Facebook? Did I reply to the email? Did I check my voicemail? I mean, the amount of places that you have to be all at one place at one time these days. People's plates are overburdened and they're full and they're frantic. You know, the etiquette of the old days is kind of what's being swept under first, and people don't notice it, but, you know, you'll have the instruments in a room and the television will go all day, or, you know, me and my friends are singing in the car and we're riding with a friend the other day and she didn't even recognize it, but all of a sudden she turned on the radio, like, really loud, and one of her sisters said, you've got the radio playing live. And she was like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. And so I don't think it's even conscious, but I think, you know, my mother's teacher used to say to her, first be conscious and then automatically will come God conscious. Don't try to do the fanaticism of one or the other. Just try to be conscious in and of itself, and all the other seeds will sprout naturally.
That's right. Yeah, less friction will occur between you and others, and things will just flow better.
Okay, so that was Kanamrita Dasi speaking again about what Bhakti Yoga is about. She is playing a live intimate show at the Canadian Memorial Church next Wednesday, 1825 West 16th Ave. You can get tickets from Banyan Books down there in Kitsilano. So I hope you enjoyed that. This is a special on Bhakti. I'll be right back with my final interview today with Sandra Lee. She is a local Kirtan leader herself. She's been around a long time doing some wonderful work. So let's hear what Sandra has to say, but we'll be right back.
CITR, Mantra Radio, and Chant, and Give Peace a Chant presents Women of Bhakti, a new film by Geneva Harrison in its Canadian debut screening. Come to Open Door Yoga at 16th and Arbutus, Friday, August 17th at 8 p.m. to catch this documentary film about women in the Bhakti. Tickets are $20 and include the film, a Meet the Producer opportunity, refreshments, and kirtan. For more information, visit givepeaceachant.org.
Okay, so Sandra Lee is she'll be speaking right now about her work in the Vancouver Kirtan community and about that that very show we just did a promo for, the Women of Bhakti. So here is Sandra Lee right now. I just spoke with her. Wonderful to talk to as well. Okay, so now we're joined by Sandra Lee here live on the radio here for the Bhakti Yoga special. Now, Sandra is a local practitioner and teacher of Dru Yoga, and also an exquisite voice herself as a host of a weekly, almost weekly kirtan here in Vancouver. Isn't that correct, Sandra?
Hi, Matt. Yes, it is.
Firstly, Dru Yoga, what exactly is that? I've never heard that expression before.
Dru Yoga comes from the UK, and it's a style of yoga that is based on sort of more, an overall health and wellness perspective. It encompasses movement, but also there's a whole other side of it. They also have meditation, as well as nutrition, as well as Dru dance. And part of my training is in what's called Dru sound, and incorporates the sound and mantra.
Ah, so this is an incredibly holistic kind of field. I can hear that right now, this type of yoga. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's out of the UK, so that's why we haven't really heard a lot about it in North America yet, but it's definitely growing. It's the second largest yoga school in the UK, and they're huge in Australia, the Netherlands, and Germany, and Switzerland, and all through Europe. So, you know, the UK, England, Wales is where they're based out of, and Scotland and Ireland as well.
And so then the Bhakti Kirtan component, was that something you began sort of partway through your studies of Dru Yoga specifically, or how did you end up doing that?
I had started studying yoga 20 years ago with my teacher Lillian, just at the community center, and I was with her for about 6 years when she recommended that I become a teacher. And I was very of course flattered by that, because I had yoga teachers on a pedestal. So I went away to an ashram, just one in here in BC, and I experienced a year of yogic study and development, and during that time I learned about chanting. But it wasn't until later I came back and I did a little bit more exploration, and I met up with the Dru Worldwide. And at that time they were still quite small. They came to Vancouver with a project called the World Peace Flame, which is a flame that's been joined together by all the continents in the world. And that was so inspiring for me. And through them, I connected into what I feel is kind of more the rasa behind the chanting. And they're very, very, I don't know if you in Wales, music is huge. So there's, a huge component of the musicality of yoga, plus sound and mantra, some very, very good teachers there who have studied a lot of Vedic philosophies and have a really lovely practice together. So that's when it all kind of started, was when I met with them, and that would have been 1999. And the Peace Flame came together, and I had the Peace Flame in 2001, September 11th, actually. It was an interesting story. My Peace Flame, which looks like a Welsh miner's lamp, it broke that day. So it just kind of flew off my hand and broke into smithereens the day of the world disaster at the World Trade Center. And that was really, that was quite, for me, wow. What does that mean? Yeah. My World Peace Flame broke. And what came from that was that a couple of my Dru Yoga friends, and I decided to start up the chanting in the yoga studios. We had been doing it at home, and we decided, you know, as a sort of like an initiative for peace, because at that time I felt the world was just on edge. So much fear, so much negativity, everybody looking at the media, everything snowballing. I don't know if you remember that day.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I just get shivers thinking of it. It was just such a, it was such a monumental change for humankind on Earth. And you know, our feeling was, okay, let's do something really radically different. Let's not look at the media. Let's not listen to the news. Let's meditate and let's chant the holy names, basically, and see what happens. Now, when I say holy names, you know, I'm kind of, my practice is kind of more based in a sort of a Vedic kind of Hindu style, so lots of, you know, lots of Ganesha and lots of Shiva and you know, the Divine Mother aspects and Krishna, and you know, it's kind of more broad, but it's definitely a way for me to get into a place of deep peace. And I can't explain why that has happened to me, because I was born and raised in Alberta. You know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me why I'm so drawn towards this tradition. But anyhow.
So that is the voice of Sandra Lee there. She is going to be at, well, Kirtan Vancouver on the weekend. And she also hosts a weekly Kirtan every Friday. And you can go to a website called givepeaceachant.com and you can find out exactly what that is all about, and you can experience it for yourself every second Friday. So she is also going to be helping to present the premiere of the film Women of Bhakti this coming weekend. So I'm just going to, we're kind of running out of time here. We only have about 5 minutes left, so I'm just going to get to where Sandra starts to talk about that, about what you can expect on the on that event as well. So there's a lot happening. There's Kanan Rita playing next Wednesday night. There's Kirtan Vancouver this week on the 18th. And on this very Friday night is the Women of Bhakti. So, yeah, big weekend for our yoga lovers. So let's see a bit more details about the Women of Bhakti.
So the film's about 30 minutes long. Then we're also having kirtan. We've got Sparrow coming as a guest. Sparrow's a dear friend of mine. And also some lovely mridangam players. Ananda Murthy and Yogendra are coming. So these are two young guys. I think they're 14 and 15. But they're really good drummers, and they've got a lot of bhakti. So they're going to be coming to support. And then after, on top of everything, there's going to be snacks and vegetarian, a little vegetarian meal for you. So all of that for $20 to help support the Give Peace, or the Kirtan Vancouver participants. So some of us have been volunteering our time. I've been volunteering. And it just gives us a little bit of something to kind of draw back on for our communities, really. You know, also part of the proceeds is going to Food for Life, which is a program in Vancouver that brings lunches to people who might not otherwise, vegetarian lunches, might not otherwise get decent food to eat. So that goes on Friday. Mm-hmm. I recommend you get there between 7:20 and 7:30. There's not a whole lot of tickets left, but we can fit up to 100 people in the studio. About 108 we can fit. We've done it before. It's kind of squishy, but I'm expecting around 80 to 90. Mm-hmm. And we've already pre-sold about, I think, 60 tickets or 50 tickets. So there's some left. Please do come early. We'll make sure everybody gets a seat. It's at 2111 West 16th Avenue at the beautiful Open Door Studio, and that's just at the corner of 16th and Arbutus, right around from the ridge, just around the corner from the ridge. And it'll go from, we started about 8 and we'll be going probably till about 10, and because a lot of us need to go home and get a good night's sleep since we've got the great big event on Saturday.
That's right, Kirtan Vancouver. So yeah. So that's Friday night. It's the Women of Bhakti movie premiere. Yep. Here, and Sandra will be there with her her group there, Give Peace a Chant. Thank you so much, Sandra, for chatting. You're definitely one of the pioneers of this movement. So I recommend everyone, if you can't make it this Friday, it's on, just give Peace a Chant website and you can go along any week, every second week.
Yeah, exactly. Our next one, our next regular program is August 31st, and it's a blue moon kirtan because there's two full moons in August.
All right.
It's a blue moon kirtan. Thank you, Matt. I really appreciate what you're doing, all the service work you're doing for Kirtan Vancouver. It's just awesome. And thank you to CITR for helping sponsor us, too. It's been really great.
That was the voice there of Sandra Lee, and I'm telling you, to see her in full flight at a curtain is special. Like, we're pretty fortunate here, if you're living in Vancouver, to be able to walk into a yoga studio on a Friday night and see a world-class collection of performers, and to experience there, sit there, absorb it, and partake if you wish. It's pretty cool. And so you can, as she said, you can go to the Women of Bhakti this Friday, August 17th in Kitsilano. Lots of information online, Women of Bhakti, if you go to the Facebook group. And so this was a show all about Bhakti Yoga, and I interviewed Karnamrita Dussey. That was a real treat. She is a world-class performer. She will be at the Canadian Memorial Church on the 22nd of August, playing with Pete McCormack. Local luminary, of course. Pete's done so much work over the years in film and music. And Jeffrey Armstrong will be hosting that event. So that's next Wednesday, the 22nd of August at Canadian Memorial Church. Banyan Books for tickets. And, of course, Jennifer and Sarah phoned through today. They got two free tickets. So, guys, I'll be in touch. I have your details. And, of course, Kirtan Vancouver this Saturday. And we're CITR Radio is hosting the live broadcast for that. And that's down at Second Beach in Vancouver. All sorts of performers there, including Karnamrita Dussey. So that's from 3 p.m. till 9 p.m. I hope you enjoyed this show. This was a real kind of something different. I usually do a rock and roll show on Friday nights at 6 p.m. If you like, if you want to find out about Australian independent music and local independent music here from Vancouver, 6 p.m. on this station. But let's leave you now with some chanting. This is actually off the givepeaceachant.org website. They've got a little MP3 sample of what you would experience like at a real kirtan. This is a traditional shanti path. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, the Sanskrit. It's a universal prayer for peace. This is in Sanskrit. And here we go. This is to fade out here. My name's been Matt. Thank you, CITR, for hosting this special. And up next, we have... who have we got here? Just come into the studio.
Relentlessly Awesome.
Sorry?
Relentlessly Awesome.
Relentlessly Awesome is up next at 11. But let's hear a little bit of chanting to take us out. Goodbye.
Is your independent East Vancouver theater playing first-run feature films, independent film screenings, as well as live events. Every Friday night, there are featured midnight cult classics on the big screen, and no one can beat the Rio for their Cheap Date Tuesdays.
Be at the Rio August 17th for Dead On Film, the zombie short film competition where 10 zombie shorts will be shown, but only one will survive. Tickets are $10, doors at 9 p.m. This month at the Rio, your Friday late-night movies are Wet Hot American Summer on August 10th, Dumb and Dumber on August 24th, and Dirty Dancing on August 31st. Other attractions at the Rio for August include the world's largest touring circus sideshow, Hell's a Poppin', a sideshow review on August 19th. Extra Vancouver and the Friends of Dorothy series presents a special screening of Mean Girls on August 22nd. And don't miss Dungeons & Dragons, a live comedy experience. Join Vancouver's best comedic performers as they quest for glory and snacks on August 29th.
For more information on all this and more, check out theriotheatre.ca.
You really want to know what love is?
Yeah. Yes, tell us.
More than anything in the world, Ron. Well, it's really quite simple. It's kind of like... Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Do you know what love is? I do. It's CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon delight.
My friends, tonight we unveil my most diabolical creation.
CITR 101.9 FM.
10 times more addictive than marijuana. Ooh. To human misery.
Nice to see you.
McPhee! McBain, so glad you could make it. Have a salmon puff.
All right.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another episode of Relentlessly Awesome. I know it's been a month, but happy belated Canada Day. This is an all-Canada show. And the reason why is because it's also a SoCan fill-in-the-sheet episode. We've got a lot of Canadian content. Basically, everything is Canadian. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.